If you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to deal with the second to last beatitude, in verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. A very straightforward beatitude here. But we must ask ourselves the question, do we all seek peace with pure motives? Is there a difference between making peace and forcing peace? There is no sane person on the face of this earth who would say they are for strife, they are for contention, they are for battles and forms of all kinds of war. No, we all say we are for peace. Yet the Lord Jesus does not declare happiness to those who wish for peace, but the makers of peace will be blessed. So we will explore the nature of this peace, the labors Christians put to achieve this peace, and the blessing in having the title and privilege of sons of God. So what is the nature of this peace? This is God's peace. Let's be clear. First and foremost, this is God's peace that comes from above. It is not natural to this world. Remember, after the sin of Adam and Eve, the next sin that is recorded, it's not the very next sin that's committed, obviously, but the next sin that is recorded is murder. Not of a murder of a stranger to a stranger, but of a brother. So this is not man's peace. But how do they differ in nature and intent? The different nature for man's peace is self-serving. So often, and can exclude God altogether. The name of God, the teachings of God, the commandments of God, the praise of God. And if you know your history and children, I'm sure you know even the youngest of children have heard stories of war. So hopefully, first and foremost in the scriptures, you will remember that a conquering army is the winning army. And a winning army desires a peace treaty. So it is publicly declared they are the winners. And there is no doubt they are the winners. And that they will set the rules from now on. And a defeated army or a defeated nation is compelled to sign a peace treaty. And usually there are no negotiations. There might be negotiations, but the conquering army has the advantage. They can ultimately get their way. Depends how well they conquered the other nation. And so, in fact, in our recent history, in World War II, the Allies had a policy as they were fighting the war. Unconditional surrender. So as we fought Nazi Germany, Imperial Japan, Fascist Italy as well, our policy was they will have to surrender. We will defeat them and they will submit to our terms. And so it was. We set the terms. Although we as a nation, the Allies, were very gracious in those terms. But the peacemakers Christ speaks of do his work. The Apostle Paul, in one of his letters, describes himself as an apostle and the role of an apostle. He says we are ambassadors of Christ. You know what an ambassador is? You have an ambassador to England, you have an ambassador to China, you have one to every nation you recognize as a nation, and they represent the president of this nation. They represent the government of this nation in a foreign land. And so that when they speak for the president. But for Christians, we speak the words and we represent the King, Jesus. We are His representatives on earth. We speak of His interests to a people who are not His and who are not being loyal to Him. And we seek to advance the cause of Christ here on earth. And so whether it is witnessing to unbelievers, preaching the gospel, or handing out material, Christian material, we as followers of Christ do call others to cease from their hostility. And often this is accompanied with prayer, maybe a private prayer. We want the enemies of God to no longer to be the enemies of God, but rather to be the children of God, the partakers of God's grace. So we pray for conversion. We pray for repentance. And let me be clear here, whether Christian or non-Christian, when you are lacking repentance, you're in a state of hostility towards God. All of mankind is born with that hostility, and we are by nature warmongers. And our tendency to rebel against God. Now there's a beautiful passage in Ephesians chapter 3, if you want to turn there, which speaks of Christ and His peace and what He has accomplished. Verses 14 through 22 of Ephesians 3, God declares, "For He," referring to Christ Himself, "is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity," or hatred, "that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." So you notice the peace being granted by the proclamation of the gospel, and that the adoption to the Father through the Spirit. Verse 19, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." You're part of the family of God, in other words. Verse 20, "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Enjoy what Thomas Watson describes in regards to this spiritual transformation through God's peace that He grants to the child of God. Watson says, "Grace turns the vulture into a dove, the briar into a myrtle tree, the lion-like fierceness into a lamb-like gentleness. In that day, the wolf and the lamb will live together. It is spoken of the power which the gospel shall have upon men's hearts. It shall make such a metamorphosis that those who before were full of rage and hatred shall now be made peaceable and gentle. Nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. It shows us the character of a true saint. He is given to peace. He is the keeper of peace. He is a son of peace." End quote. So yes, obtaining salvation for your sins issues in a new heart to you. that seeks after the Lord and His peace. Yet we must continually strive for that peaceful nature from God. There's good reason why Paul, in the beginning of his epistles, has this common greeting of grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We have daily need for God's grace and to be at peace with God and as well as others, especially within the body of Christ. Now, it requires two parties. Requires two parties to be at peace for it to be truly peace. Right? Now, you can be at peace with somebody who is angry and at war with you, but there's not peace in that relationship unless both are seeking that peace. And so, you know, obvious illustrations are couples who are at odds with each other and cannot reconcile unless both of them see their faults. And yes, there will always be faults on both sides. And they both must want to change themselves. The key is not to change the other person. No, you need to change yourself, and the other person needs to change themselves. Otherwise, you cannot bless each other. So, as I've read often, Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as much as depends on you. You know, that's strong language. That's not weak language. If it be possible, work towards this. Labor towards this end. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, you try. You try hard. Deny yourself. Live peaceably with all men. Now, Matthew Henry does provide a caution regarding this peace. It might be worth hearing from him. He says, we must not so far have peace with others as to endanger ourselves. If a man has the plague, we will be helpful to him and send him our best remedies. But we are careful not to have too much of his company or suck in his infectious breath. All right? So even in those days, you know, don't stand too close. So we may be peaceable towards all and helpful to all. Pray for them, counsel them, relieve them. But let us take heed of too much familiarity, lest we suck in their infection. In short, we must so make peace with men that we do not break our peace with conscience. Follow peace and holiness, Hebrews 12:14. We must not purchase peace with the loss of holiness. So there is a way of peace that is still consistently following the Lord. Now the labors of the peacemakers. I already touched upon that. So how do we as Christians make peace? And God is really saying only the Christians can make my peace. Seriously, they're called peacemakers. And peace comes from God, but we are the peacemakers. Well, first we must deny ourselves. And this is what coming to faith is all about. This is what repentance is all about. This is what exercise of love is all about. How do we deny? We deny ourselves the pursuit and fleeting pleasures of sin. We deny ourselves the allurements of the world. We don't live for the world. We need the things of the world to live, but we don't live for the world. And definitely not the sins of the world. And so Christians are to dwell in the things that foster peace. The guidance from God's Word that tempers our emotions and calibrates our desires and sets our mind on higher things, heavenly things. So Christians must humble themselves so they are not the objects or the object of contention. Let me repeat that. Christians must humble themselves so they are not the object of contention. And that requires self-denial. Recall how David, being mistreated by Shimei, who accused David of being a bloody man, and he was mistreating, he was cursing David, throwing rocks at David. And David had done no wrong to Shimei, who was of the tribe of Benjamin, made a distant relative of King Saul, who was already dead. But David was guilty of the blood of Uriah. And David saw that this was from the Lord. This man's cursing of him and throwing the rocks, and his son, this was Absalom, who took over the throne and would easily kill David if he had a chance and sought the chance. David saw, this is from the Lord. Peacemakers can abandon often their rights in order to enhance the witness of Christ's love, to further peace. Behold, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Keep in mind that Jesus spoke and declares truth, and he never sought to contend and wrestle with others over truth. He simply declared it. He taught it, and he lived by it, because he sought to be at peace. It was others who sought to be at war with him. So we can declare God's truth to a hostile world and still have God's inward peace within us. And thus we are peacemakers. See, Jesus is all about God's peace for his beloved people. Again, as Watson observes, his office is to be a mediator of peace. He came into the world with a song of peace. The angels sang it, peace on earth. He went out of the world with a legacy of peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. And the Holy Spirit is a spirit of peace. A.W. Pink points out, again, interesting observation. Let us consider the marked contrast between the task that God assigned to his people under the old covenant and the new covenant, respectively. After the giving of the law, Israel was commanded to take up arms, take up the sword, and to conquer the land of Canaan, destroying the enemies of God. The risen Christ has given different orders to his church. Throughout this gospel dispensation, we are to go into all nations as heralds of the cross, seeking the reconciliation of those who by nature are at enmity with our Master. And then he shares, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Taken from 2 Corinthians 5:20. And then Pink continues, therefore he earnestly desires that they should acquaint themselves with God and be at peace. Believers know that peace with God is only through our Lord Jesus Christ. For this reason, we speak of him to our fellow men as the Holy Spirit leads us to do so. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Thus, we are equipped to testify to others concerning the grace of God. Of us, it is said, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I thought that was so well said. And so the Lord honors us to be part of that mission. And it's just mind-blowing to consider that. And lastly, note that the title and privilege of the sons of God. Jesus declares, those who reject him manifest themselves as the devil's children. does he not? This is strong language. Yes, it is. But it is from the Lord. The followers of Jesus, the testifiers of His grace to sinners, those disciples and messengers receive adoption into the family of God. So they give firsthand experience and knowledge of this peace. The sons of God, this includes male and female, adult and children in the faith, dwell with their heavenly Father in heaven. We know this will be a reality, but right now we have the reality that God dwells in us by the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:24, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Again, the declaration of God's goodness towards the peacemakers. Galatians 3:26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Such great honor as sons of God. The Lord entrusts you with a ministry in the name of Christ. Now, some of you children are not yet old enough to take on certain responsibilities. I don't think we have any non-adult children here that can drive yet. You have to be a certain age. You have to go through certain courses. Then you're entrusted with the car. But you know what? Even though you have to grow up and you have to obtain that trust or skills, right now you have the trust of God the Father to share the gospel, to live out the gospel. The most important task you have in your whole life is to serve the Lord, to testify of His goodness and mercy and of the judgment to come. What a privilege you have now and forevermore. So you can speak of peace because you are witnesses of it. You experience it if you are a Christian. And you experience it throughout all of eternity. That peace will not be taken from you. So as you read about the turmoil in the world, in fact, I was reading an article yesterday about the possibility of World War III. Now, I think we're a little bit far from that possibility, but the trouble in Ukraine. Well, we had World War I in Europe. We had a World War II in Europe. And we now have additional trouble in Europe. So man's peace is not an everlasting peace. God's peace is. There's no doubt whatsoever. The peace of salvation is found only in Christ Jesus, the King of Peace. Your privilege is declaring God's peace to His enemies. And that is hard because many of them don't want to hear it. And they're hostile towards you. They manifest themselves as enemies of God and they will love to be your enemy. And treat you in an ill fashion, as we'll find in the next beatitude. But you must be living in peace as the sons of God, enjoying the eternal blessed relationship as God's children. And often, you might not realize this, often as you live as a Christian, even if you're not witnessing really overtly in the workplace or at school, often, maybe they won't show it, unbelievers can be very jealous of you because of that peace you have with God. If you have difficulty in your family or in health or something going on in your life and yet you're at peace with God, people don't understand. They're like Job's wife. Why don't you just curse God and die? But you, expressing that peace of God, that's a powerful witness. So let me share Christ's blessing, His call to Christians from 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 8 and following, and I already used one of these verses today. But starting in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 5, declares, we are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men that we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled, that's God's peace, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Hence you are peacemakers. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. That's the gospel. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So the peacemakers emulate the character of God by the Holy Spirit working in them, and by bringing that message found in God's word, the gospel. So how are you, I will ask, how are you allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you in this regard? Are you laboring as a peacemaker in your home, in your marriage, in your work, in your church? Or do you labor for peace? Or are you in desperate need of peace? So you have to advocate for one or pursue the other. You need a peace. Seek it out. There's no shame. Seek it out and find it. Ask for help in seeking that out. Seek it, the help from the Lord. Seek it from your parents. Seek it from your elders. Seek it from good Christian friends. Seek it out. So you too can experience it and be an advocate for God's peace. Either way, peace is established through the blood of Jesus Christ. True Christians pursue the agenda of God has declared in his word to call sinners to himself, to offer reconciliation for the penitent sinner, and to warn others of the coming final battle where Christ is victorious and all his enemies will receive the wages of their sin, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so now we plead for peace. Seek peace before destruction. For destruction is coming. But peace is possible now. It may not be later. And so we sing Psalm 2. Not only to ourselves, but to a rebellious world. And so let me end this sermon by quoting the plea that is implied in plea for peace from God himself found in Psalm 2, verse 10 and following. Now therefore be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. And the him is Christ Jesus. So put your trust in him. Be heralds of peace. Be recipients of that peace. And live in peace. Let us pray. Well, Father, it is hard to fully express and also to realize the magnitude of the peace of God. Father, we pray when we are troubled in heart, when we are given towards bitterness, towards others, when, Lord, we are at odds, even especially those within the church or in our family, that we would reflect upon your call of peace, the terms of your peace, and the grace that works in your people to be peaceable. And so, Lord, we pray that we would be happy to be peacemakers, bring forth not the message that we think of, but the message that we have received in Christ Jesus and through your word. And so, Lord, we pray for your Spirit to work in our hearts and to frame the way we think, that we will be given to thinking in the ways of peace and reconciliation, that we will be willing to deny ourselves in order to bless others. And so help us, Lord, to follow the blessed and glorious and faithful example of the Lord Jesus. But we cannot do this in and of ourselves. So we call upon you for that help to fulfill that which you have commanded us and that which you have promised us, to have that privilege as the sons of God. So, Lord, bless according to your name's sake and according to our desperate need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.